This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, we have all these, you know, students from different parts of the country or different parts of the world that are joining for the Seerah program with Sheikh Abdullah. And we're just blessed to be able to have you join us for this Shama'il session. Sheikh, we can't see you anymore, but we can hear you. There you go, we can see you now. Alhamdulillah, it looks clean. MashaAllah, you look, you know, young and beautiful as always. May Allah bless you and keep you smiling, inshallah,
Ameen,
Sheikh.
Ameen.
How is it in South Africa right now? Is it summer?
Yeah, of course, summer, alhamdulillah. I know on that side of the world it's winter. This is like intense summer, it's peak summer, it's hot summer. But alhamdulillah, it's good. Again, we also having to deal with the second wave challenge. So this is a real end year break, like you would have your summer break July, August. So this is the long break year. So all schools, factories, businesses, everything kind of shuts down, and people are on an extended holiday and vacation during this time of the year.
And so are you able to have programs and stuff right now, Sheikh, or is it just still?
So it's it's just finding a fine balance, because things had resumed to a fair degree of normality, with masajid having activity, Jummah prayer taking place, congregational prayer programs, events, jalsas, etc., though limited and restricted. And just when things were kind of settling in again, with the second wave and the panic and the fear, so it's kind of created things a bit uneasy. I wouldn't say back to the most severe form of lockdown, but at the same time, people are just precarious, because it's either way.
Sheikh, you see Sheikh Abdullah, he just walked in. Can you see him?
No, unfortunately, I cannot see his beautiful face.
He's next
face.
To us. Assalamu alaikum, can you hear
Salaam
us?
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Indeed, I can hear your beautiful voice, though I cannot see your cheerful face.
Sheikh, you're looking great, mashallah. We miss you so much here in America, in Canada.
Yeah, this was the first November without a conference in Windsor, eh?
Yeah, I can't believe it. But inshallah, we continue to benefit from your online videos and your programs. And that one statement of Ghazali about that you shared just recently, jealousy, it was just excellent, Sheikh.
Yeah, the pseudo jurist.
Sheikh, if you can tell Ahmed that the volume for some reason has gone lower. I just texted him as well.
Okay, I've just asked him to raise the volume. Please let me know and keep us posted if the sound is not audible enough. Has it been adequately amplified, or is it still faint?
A little louder would be. When we started, it was louder. I just went a little lower right now. If we can play with it. It's better now.
Is it better?
It's better now. Yeah. Sheikh,
okay,
inshallah,
that's great.
We can start, Sheikh. Inshallah.
Okay, so we can commence?
Yes, inshallah.
Okay, jazakallah khair. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يعجبك قوله في الحياة الدنيا ويشهد الله على ما في قلبه وهو ألد الخصام صدق الله العظيم. So I've been informed by Mufti Abdul Rahman that Alhamdulillah, or Mufti Abdul Wahab rather, that Miftah has embarked on this 10-day intensive Seerah course, and mashallah, students have enrolled and many others, and that's great, that's amazing, that's wonderful. So it's more focused, it's more structured, and it's more intensive. Of course, our slot here today is just 1 hour slot, because that's the time that we have, and we're going to endeavor to explore one angle, one dimension of the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as advertised, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a leader. At the onset, let me say that leadership, authority, position, power, muscle, clout is a situation that very few can survive this position. Generally, when a person finds himself in that situation of authority, then his ego gets the better of him, and more than often he abuses and exploits that position. So we're going to show and expound on how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted himself with dignity amidst the authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had conferred upon him. Let me start off by speaking on the verse that I recited, a verse of the second juz of the Quran, the second chapter, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a munafiq, Akhnas bin Shuraiq. So he would come in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he would express, you know, I love you, I'm attached to you, I'm fond of you, and yeah, you know, just flowery language, and make all these lavish claims. But talk is cheap, talk is cheap. The real challenge is to walk the talk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى. Now the word tawalla in Arabic has two meanings. Tawalla could mean adbara, when he turns his back and he leaves your gathering, or tawalla al-amra, when this very person who makes these lavish claims of loving you and being committed and faithful, but yet when he finds himself in the seat of power, when he finds himself in authority, then you see a monstrous image coming out. How often don't we see pre-election, post-election? Pre-election, it's, during election, when it's to secure the vote, it's a begging approach, it's a humble approach, it's an obliging approach. But once the person has been inaugurated or sworn into office or given the post, then suddenly there is such a change of events in the personality, the party concern, or the entire group. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى, when this person assumes power, سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا, then he just causes mischief on the earth. وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ, he destroys human lives and he destroys livestock. In other words, he does not differentiate. Because of arrogance, authority, muscle, and clout, he just abuses. Luqman Hakim, the wise Luqman, he said to his son, إِذَا دَعَتْكَ قُدْرَتُكَ عَلَى ظُلْمِ النَّاسِ فَتَذَكَّرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. When your authority provokes you to abuse people, then remind yourself of the authority that Allah has over you. Okay, let's try and make some progress into different aspects of the seerah. So there's a verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطَغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. And these are the verses of Surah Alaq, which was the first chapter of the Quran to be revealed. Verily man, لَا يَطَغَى, rebels, أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى, when he perceives himself to be self-sufficient and independent, there's just no limits to his arrogance. There's no limits to his arrogance. So when we look into the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his noble companions, it was very, very different. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the successor of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, كان أبو بكر رجلا تاجرا. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a tradesman. He was a man in business. فكان يغدو كل يوم السوق فيبيع ويبتاع. He would go to the marketplace, engage in business, trade and transaction. And he also had a flock of sheep and goats of his own, etc. فربما خرج بنفسه فيها. And at times he would go out with his flock and take it for grazing. And he would also take the flock of goats of the people in the neighborhood, that I'm going out, I'm taking my flock, let me take your flock as well. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu assumed the position of Khilafah and he succeeded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the most volatile situation, the most volatile situation, that Aisha radiallahu anha said that Sara ashabu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka'annahum mi'za mutira fi ardin musbi'a, that the noble companions radiallahu anhum post the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appeared to be like a flock of sheep in a forest infested with predators. Ishra'abba an-nifaqu, hypocrisy had reared its ugly head. Those that wanted to lay claim to false prophet would, they were in the numbers. Wallahi makhtalafu fi nuqta illa tara abi bi khataliha wa inaniha wa fasliha. It was my dad Abu Bakr who rose to the challenge and then addressed all the challenges and rescued the ummah and united them on a common mission. So some of the young girls passed the remark, Al-an la tuhlabu lana mana'ihu darina. Now Abu Bakr is a man of power. He's the Khalifa. He's Amirul Mu'mineen. He's in the driving seat. Forget about the days where Abu Bakr will take our flock and graze it. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard these comments, this innocent discussion amongst few girls of the neighborhood, he said to them, Allahu Akbar, لعمري لأحلبنها لكم وإني لأرجو ألا يغيرني ما دخلت فيه عن خلق كنت عليه فكان يحلب لهم. No, O my daughter, I will continue taking your flock of goats and I will milk them, and I'm optimistic from Allah. The position in which He has put me will not change me in any way in my interaction with the general public. Somebody made a very profound deduction from the narrative of Yusuf alayhi salam when he was innocently incarcerated and the two inmates of the jail addressed him regarding the interpretation of their vision, and they said to him, Inna naraka min al muhsinin, O fellow inmate of the jail, we find you to be a noble person. Inna verily us naraka, we observe you to be, we find you to be min al muhsinin, amongst the noble people. And when he assumed the throne, and his brothers had come, and the tale continues, and you know, we can go into those details at another time. At that time also they said to him, Ayyuhal azizu inna lahu aban shaykhan kabiran fakhudh ahadana makana inna naraka min al muhsinin. Your Majesty, Your Excellency, O King, you appear to be a noble man. So a believer is one, and of course you're a prophet. لا تغيره المناصب. لا تغيره المناصب. Position, title, one accolade, one testimony, one certificate, additional recognition, one graduation ceremony, one post higher is not going to change your position. Imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was conferred with the greatest position, yet his humility. We move on to another hadith and then give you a practical demonstration of the humility of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the focus in my session today is, how can I manage the position of authority? Again, the scholars mentioned something so amazing that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was in the throes of death, I hope the sound is clear and everybody can hear me adequately. You can communicate with Brother Ahmed if all is good. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in his fatal illness, and then prior to leaving this world, he conveyed to us two advices. And here again, the scholars say this was a summary of his 23 years. Can you imagine? So it was a 23 years brimming with goodness, with greatness, with nobility, with guidance, with direction. And then he summarized those 23 years in two words. He gave us a synopsis of his impeccable teachings in two words. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Fear Allah with regards to the performance of prayer, and fear Allah with regards to the treatment of your subjects, your subordinates, those who are under your care. And the scholars say that the aspect of prayer addressed the huququllah, your rights towards Allah, and the aspect of kindness to your subjects addressed the rights of humans. And if a person can manage, restrain, control, and regulate himself or herself in a position of authority over someone whom Allah has given him some access, etc., then such a person is in all likelihood will honor all the other aspects of his life in terms of his seniors, his spouse, his siblings, his neighbors. فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبَغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. In the fourth chapter of the Quran, in the fifth juz of the Quran, speaking about the arguments between husband and wife, addressing the male, addressing the husband, Allah says, if you have an obliging spouse, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ, she is obliging, فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Then do not look for an excuse to inflict pain upon that spouse. Do not look for an excuse to inflict difficulty upon your innocent wife. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Wow! Remember, Allah is mighty and elevated. So Allah is reminding you that Allah has authority and power over you. فِيهِ ذَمُّ الْإِحْتِيَالِ فِي سِيَاسَةِ مَنْ تَحْتَهُ بِأَيَّ يَظْهَرَ فِي سَبَبِ الْأَمْرِ لَيْسَ سَبَبًا فِي الْوَاقِعِ وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ الْبُغْضُ النَّفْسَانِ. In مسائل السلوك, in بيان القرآن, under this ayah it is written that the ayah insinuates towards the repugnant behavior of those who abuse authority, who, where there is no crime, there is no offense, there is no folly, there is no blemish, but you just want to abuse your employee, you want to abuse a subject in the case of a ruler, or any person over whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you some position. You're a manager and he's working under you, and you are in a senior position. Now you're abusing that authority. So there is a hadith narrated by Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that three people will have a dual reward. One is a person from the people of the book who brought iman on his prophet and his book, be it the Torah or the Injil, etc. And this was prior to the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then his period coincided with the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, then he accepted the teachings of the scriptures which had prophesied the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So prior to the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was diligently, passionately, religiously upholding the teachings of Isa alayhi salam. And then he witnessed the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he embraced the teachings of Islam. For such a person is dual reward. والعبد المملوك إذا أدى حق الله وحق مواليه. And then is a slave who is loyal, faithful, obedient, and compliant to his master and obedient to his creator. ورجل كانت له أمة فأدبها فأحسن تأديبها وعلمها فأحسن تعليمها ثم أعتقها فزوجها فله أجران. And a person who had a slave girl back in the days when it was happening, although even when slavery was there, Islam encouraged the freedom of slaves. Islam encouraged the liberation of slavery, of slaves, right? It was an atonement. If you had committed a crime, Islam said, liberate the slave. Allah said, to earn reward, فَكُّ رَقَبَ, free slaves. In so many books, you'll get the write-up of how many companions would have just liberated slaves upon slaves, just to give them independence and freedom. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would just buy a slave, purchase him, and give him freedom. That's it. And that's how Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu and other companions had paid tribute and homage to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu,
Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqan wa akhza fakihan wa aba jahli ashiyatan hamma fi Bilalin bisawati wa lam yahdhara ma yahdharu al-mar'u dhul 'aqli bitawhidihi rabbal anami wa qawlihi shahidtu bi anna Allah rabbi ala mahli فإن يقتلوني يقتلوني فلن أكن لأشرك بالرحمن من خيفة القتل فيا رب إبراهيم والعبد يونس وموسى وعيسى نجني ثم لا تبلي. In which he pays tribute to Abu Bakr for the slaves he liberated. Now, you had a slave girl, you had some degree of authority over. Islam says for you is dual reward. You did not abuse her, you showed her kindness, respect, honor and dignity, and then you empowered her, and then you liberated her, and then you wedded her. And now just understand this. I hope you're following this year clearly. We need to digest and absorb this year. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was the beauty of his teachings. It was just not the sheer utterance of theory, but it was the implementation and the execution of the theory. So, just to objectively digress, and then I will revert to this hadith and expound on it on a practical analogy, insha'Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wada, he said that kullu shay'in min amri al-jahiliyya tahta mawdu'un tahta qadamiyya. All the practices of the days of darkness have been destroyed and abolished, and they are beneath my feet. And all this type of interest and usury and wealth that was been taken and people were being exploited, it's all done and dusted with. And the first type of money that I'm cancelling out that was owed was the money owed to my own family, and that's my own uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu. And Abbas radiallahu anhu, prior to Islam, used to give money and used to take interest on it, and exorbitant amounts were taken and demanded from people. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed for the ending of this year, but he commenced by forgiving and putting an end to the wealth that was owed to his own uncle. He said all killing and bloodshed and claiming of lives is now over and done. There's no fighting, there's no killing, there's no skirmishes, there's no rivalry, there's no fighting or anything. وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ دَمٍ أَضَعُ مِنْ دِمَائِنَا. And the first murder that I will overlook is the murder of دَمُ بْنُ رَبِيعَ رَبِيعَةَ بْنَ الْحَارِثِ. So Harith was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then his son was Rabi'a. And then he had a child. كَانَ مُسْتَرْضِعًا فِي بَنِي هُذَيْلِ. That child was being suckled in Banu Hudayl. And then there was a crossfire of arrows, and in that child had lost his life. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I have forgiven this year, and now I advocate you to forgive. So here is the Prophet ﷺ. He told us that khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlihi. The best amongst you is the one who is kind to his spouse. Now, that was the theory. He didn't just say this and say, right, okay, you do it. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. And you can ask any of my spouses, I treat them with the greatest amount of kindness. That is why I find it inconceivable, and I find it to be ludicrous, and I find it to be preposterous, and I find it to be bizarre when people want to malign the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by accusing him of misogyny. How can you dare accuse the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam of misogyny? No, not at all. Study his impeccable legacy. Look at the kindness to a woman. Who can possibly do this here in a position of authority? You have a slave girl, you educate her, you empower her, you give her all the necessary strength, then you liberate her, and with dignity you wed her. For such a person is dual reward. Again, it was a practical demonstration and not the sheer utterance of a theory. So when Khaybar was conquered, right, the narration of Bukhari on the strength of Anas ibn Malik, قَدِمْنَا خَيْبَرْ فَلَمَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ When Allah conquered Khaybar وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا In the 26th juz in Surah Muhammad, Allah speaks about the conquest of Khaybar. Then amongst those that were captured was a woman by the name of Safiya, who was the daughter of Huyay bin Akhtab. Huyay bin Akhtab was a rival to the Prophet ﷺ, was an adversary, was a foe, was hostile. His hostility knew no limits. Safiya, the daughter of Huyay bin Akhtab, was among the captives that came to the Prophet ﷺ. Initially, she was taken in the care and the custody of another companion, radiallahu anhu. And then someone said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the woman of the leader. She's a prominent woman, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think it would be best for you. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam then selected Safiya radiallahu anha for himself. So she came from a family between whom that family and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was intense hostility. She came as a captive. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam could have kept her in captivity, could have kept her as a slave girl. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam empowered her, liberated her, honored her, dignified her, and wedded her. And she was then privileged to become the mother of the entire ummah. What an injustice people do that you omit this rich chapter of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to take one hadith in isolation, one text in isolation. Who can possibly display such character other than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Aqama Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam بين خيبر والمدينة ثلاث ليال يبنى عليه بصفية فدعوت المسلمين إلى وليمته. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent 3 days in which the relation with Safiya radiyallahu anha was consummated. In the initial stage, the companions were unaware. Is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam keeping her as a slave girl, or has he wedded her? And then they said, "In hajabaha fahiya ihda ummahat al-mu'minin." That if he sallallahu alaihi wasallam veils her, then we know that from today she is one of the mothers of the believer. Yesterday she was a foe. She was hostile, she was an adversary, then she was captured, and the following day she was privileged, honored, and dignified and elevated to becoming the consort of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Absolute authority, total authority. And while on the topic of he sallallahu alaihi wasallam's relationship with his spouses radiyallahu anhunna, so we need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had exempted him from maintaining fairness between his spouses. This was an exclusive right conferred upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that at your discretion you can rotate your nights, right? تُرْجِي مَن تَشَاءُ مِنْهُنَّ وَتُؤْوِي إِلَيْكَ مَن تَشَاءُ وَمَن ابْتَغَيْتَ مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ. تُرْجِي مَن تَشَاءُ, you can postpone whomsoever you want. وَتُؤْوِي إِلَيْكَ مَن تَشَاءُ, and you can draw close whomsoever you wish. وَمَنِ ابْتَغَيْتَ, and whoever you seek. مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ, from those whom you had put on hold momentarily. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ, there is no harm upon you. Of course, this was an exclusive right conferred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To the general ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had addressed us in the Quran, وَلَن تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ. That there are stringent laws, that govern and regulate how you maintain justice and fairness. Be it as it may, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not use this right, leave alone abuse it, to the extent in his fatal illness where his health would not allow him to move daily to the respective consorts because of the feebleness of his blessed sacred body. So he would then inquire from his spouses, Aina ana ghadan? So tomorrow, where am I going? So they would say, tomorrow is so-and-so's night. Then he would say again, Aina ana ghadan? And that was a polite expression of seeking consent, if I can base myself at the house of Aisha radiyallahu anha to which they agreed. So with their consent, not that he required the consent, yet he took their consent in a very bashful and modest way. So tomorrow where? And they realized the hint was there to say he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeking formal consent for him to be stationary at one house due to his ill health, and to relocate him daily will obviously be tedious, cumbersome and difficult given his ill health. Subhanallah. We move on yet another incident, and that is with regards to Uthman bin Talha. So there is a narration regarding Uthman bin Talha that he was, of course, he had the key of the Kaaba, and Monday and Thursday during the period of Jahiliyyah, before the conquest of Mecca, the door of the Kaaba would be open and people would be given access that come in and you can view the Kaaba and have a look at it, etc. Of course, this was their own rituals. They had their own ritual practices, customs, norms through which they would come and perform a circuit around the Kaaba and do their acts of worship in their own way. So one day the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. This was prior to Hijrah. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Uthman bin Talha and he said to him, "Oh Uthman, would you kindly give me access into the Kaaba?" And Uthman bin Talha very vehemently declined, and in a very hostile way he refused, and he displayed unbecoming behavior in a very uncouth manner. He said, "No, not at all." So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Oh Uthman, today you decline, today you refuse, but a day will come where the keys of that Kaaba will be in my hands. The keys of that Kaaba will be in my hands and I will be in your position of authority." So Uthman bin Talha said, "Oh well, that will be a day of disgrace and humiliation for the Quraysh." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, not at all. Nay, in fact, it will be a day of honor and dignity. And then came the conquest of Mecca. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered as the conqueror of Mecca. And many things happened. Now again, the position of authority. Can you imagine? You've been expelled from this land, your native land. You've been driven out. Remember when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelation and our mother Khadija radiyallahu anha took him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Waraqat ibn Nawfal, the cousin of Khadija radiyallahu anha, who was familiar with the divine scriptures, etc. And then Waraqat ibn Nawfal heard the entire happenings and he said that your nation will banish you and expel you and drive you out. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was surprised and astonished. He said, "Will they banish me? But they refer to me as Sadiq and Al-Amin, the truthful and the honest." And he said, "Yes, any person who came with your mission, his nation, their nation then expelled him." And true to the word of Waraqat ibn Nawfal, the people of Mecca, the infidels of Mecca, they banished the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So yesterday they banished him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they expelled him. And now Allah turns the tables and the narrative has changed. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters Mecca with an army of 10,000 people. And what's the manner in which he comes in? A person is sworn in. There is this big bash. There is this big ceremony. There is this big party that's thrown in. There is this lavish banquet. It's flamboyant, it's colorful, it's lavish, it's extravagant. Wow. Imam Ahmad says, حَدَّثَنَا عَفَّانَ حَدَّثَنَا حَمَّادَ أَخْبَرَنَا أَبُو الزُّبَيْرِ عَنْ جَابِرٍ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ دَخَلَ يَوْمَ فَتْحِ مَكَّةِ. He صلى الله عليه وسلم entered when Mecca was conquered. وَعَلَيْهِ عِمَامَةٌ سَوْدَاءَ رَوَاهُ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ. Right, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a black turban on his blessed head. And kana liwa'u rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam yawma dakhala makkah abyad. The banner and the flag of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he entered Mecca was white. And it also goes on into the narration. Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiyallahu anhu says, ra'aytu rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam ala naqatihi. I observed the Prophet ﷺ mounted on his conveyance وَهُوَ يَقْرَأْ سُورَةَ الْفَتْحِ. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting Suratul Fatah. Can you possibly imagine that moment, the glory, the blessed nature, the sanctity, the serenity, the tranquility, the ambience? Oh my word, my body freezes. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering with him and his devoted companions, radiyallahu anhum, 10,000 in number. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this black turban, he has this white banner, he's mounted on his naqa, on his camel, he's reciting, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما. And then what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does, and this addresses the point I'm saying, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a leader, how accessible, how amenable he was. You could hold him, you could stop him, you could engage him, you could chat with him. وَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لَا يَضَعُ رَأْسَهُ تَوَاضُعًا لِلَّهِ حِينَ رَأَى مَا أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْفَتْحِ حَتَّى أَنَّ عُثْنُونَهُ أي اللِّحْيَة لَيَكَادُ يَمَسُّ وَاسِطَةَ الرَّحْلِ. لا إله إلا الله. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had humbled himself so much, not head high, popping his shoulders, broad chest out, standing high and tall with his head raised up, like who's there, who's going to challenge me? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذَقْنُهُ عَلَىٰ رَاحِلَتِهِ. One narration, his blessed chin was flush on the back of the conveyance. One narration, his blessed beard, the strands of the hair from his blessed beard was on the back of the conveyance. A person came to him, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates it, أن رجلا كلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. As the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم enters Makkah, he's the conqueror, it's his day, victory is his. A person comes to him, he is gripped by the awe of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's overwhelmed by the moment. Sometimes you need to speak to a head of state, right? And people feel conceited, inflated, to say the least. Wow, you know with who I shared platform, you know with who I'm dining with. And who are these people? Just regular mortals, man. Regular mortals, more infamous than famous. More infamous than famous. That's the reality. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come before Qiyamah, who will be the leaders? Luka ibn Luka, the most wicked, the son of a wicked person. And that's the, we are victims to witness that prophecy of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a person has a clean slate, he has a clean record, the chances are slim for him to assume the throne, because by and large those that come on come there with a cloud of question marks, with so much baggage and different challenges to their life which have soiled their name and blemished their character. So this person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam overwhelmed by the emotion. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Hawin alaik, relax brother, relax, relax. Innama anabnu lastu bi malikin, I'm not a king. Innama anabnu rajulim, I am the son of a woman from Quraysh, ta'kulul qadida. I am a son unto a woman from the Quraysh tribe who would live by eating dry meat. That's my biography, that's my CV, that's my intro, that's my, you know what, if you want to know who I am a son to a woman from the, la ilaha illallah. He is the greatest human. My message, my point, my brother, my sister is in the position of authority. You could be the boss in your company, you could be the manager on your floor, you could be the senior or the CEO of your company, you could be in an influential position, nay, you could be a trustee of an institute, you could be a trustee of your local madrasa or masjid, you could be elected as a member of parliament, You could be sitting in the house. You could be in any position of authority. Surely you could never, ever, ever come close in any form, shape or size to the position that the Prophet ﷺ gave you. How are you talking to those that are under your employment? How are you giving instructions to those that receive direction from you? So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam then goes into the Kaaba now. And after he performs salah, he comes out. Everybody is looking at him sallallahu alayhi wasallam in great desire. Who is the key going to be given to now? He sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, go call Uthman bin Talha. Call Uthman. Who was Uthman? Uthman bin Talha was the same person who declined in a very uncouth manner and did not give the key to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it was not retorting in a like manner. It was not tit for tat. It was not getting back at you. I'm in the position of authority. If I do the same, then we are perpetuating that same ill feelings. If yesterday I was an employee and today I'm an employer and I do no different, well, then I am as evil as those that I succeed, if not worse. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam then called Uthman bin Talha fa'akhadha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then addressed those that were present. He said, ya ma'ashara Quraishin, inna allaha qad adhaba ankum nakhwat al-jahiliyya. O the people of Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now demolished your arrogance and your pride. An-nasu min Adam wa Adam min turab. Mankind is from Adam alayhi salam, and Adam was created from soil. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the verse, ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. That Allah has created you, inna khalaqnakum min dhakar wa untha, male and female, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail. So in Arabic you have shu'ub, you have qabail, you have fakhidh, you have batn, you have qabila. It breaks down into branches, tribe, sect, group. And all these various forms that you have is purely for identification and not superiority. ثُمَّ جَلَسَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Then he صلى الله عليه وسلم sat down. فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ عَلِيُّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبُ وَمِفْتَاحُ الْكَعْبَةِ فِي يَدِهِ. And Sayyidina Ali stood up. And the key of the Kaaba was in the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, ijma' lana al-hijabata ma'a al-siqaya. So the family of Abbas and the family of Nabi alayhi salam, they were known to give water to the pilgrims. Aja'altum siqayat al-hajj wa imarat al-masjid al-haram kaman amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa jahada fi sabilillah. They had this honor and privilege for a long time, and that was to give water to the pilgrims. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, combine for us two positive things. We have the honor of giving water to the pilgrims. Give us the key of the Kaaba, and we can be the custodian of the Kaaba, and we can also be those who give water to the pilgrims. This was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was within the family. But what did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam do? He said, call Uthman bin Talha. And he said, oh Uthman, yeah, take it from me. Yeah, is the key. And I'm just not giving it to you today. Allahu Akbar, you declined, you refused. I'm giving it to you talidatan khalidatan. This key will now remain with you and your progeny till qiyamah. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse of the fifth juz of the Quran, fourth chapter. Inna Allaha ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha wa idha hakamtum bayna an-nasi an tahkumu bil-'adl. That Allah has instructed you to return the trust to its rightful owners. Again, a position of authority. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed dignity and authority, displayed dignity and respect. And that's the message. That's what we want to explain, and that's what we want to expound upon. When he sallallahu alayhi wasallam went for Umrah, and the disbelievers denied him access, and that is when Hudaybiyah took place, and Allah revealed the verse, and most of the scholars of tafsir and experts on the exegesis of the Quran tell you that this ayah fits the description of the hostility of the infidels of Mecca. ومن أظلم ممن منع مساجد الله أن يذكر فيها اسمه وسعى في خرابها. And who can be a greater oppressor than the one who prevents people from frequenting the masajid of Allah and who toils to destroy the house of Allah? And this refers to the polytheists of Mecca. So that was the abuse of authority. That because they were in charge, they denied, vehement, no, negative, in no way will you access the Kaaba. And then when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam conquers Mecca, and subhanallah, now he is in a position of authority. He is in a position of authority. What did he sallallahu alayhi wasallam do? And this is the verse of the Quran again. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَنْ صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ تَعْتَدُوا. And let it not be that the enmity and the hostility of a nation provokes you to injustice. اعدلوا, be just. هو أي العدل أقرب للتقوى. That is close to taqwa. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the occasion of the conquest of Mecca, he made general pardon. He forgave people in their numbers. He forgave people in their numbers. In fact, there is a verse of the Quran. There is a verse of the Quran. And we read this quite often in the chapter Suratul Balad, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ. And I will now just wrap up on this as well, inshallah. وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ. And the word حِلٌّ here has been explored authentically in the authentic tafsir by the scholars in two ways. One translation, and I will expound on that which is relevant to our discussion. وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ. That this city has been made halal for you. Which means, at the conquest of Mecca, the sanctity of the Kaaba was lifted for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam momentarily, and he was given the consent to avenge and take revenge against those who had inflicted pain upon him by Allah himself. And you can see this in the tafsir, wa anta hillun bihadha al-balad. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam then gave the historical khutbah. It's in Sirat Mustafa, and you can read it there. Inna Allah harrama Makkah yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal ard fa hiya haramun ila yawm al-qiyamah. That Allah has made Makkah sacred from the day he created it, and the sanctity will remain till the end of time. Fala yahillu limri'in yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir an yasfika fiha dama. It's not permissible for any person who believes in Allah and the final day to kill any person or cause any bloodshed here in the precincts of the Kaaba. Man dakhalahu kana amina. Whoever enters in the precincts of the Kaaba, he is safe and secured. وَلَمْ تُحَلِّلْ لِأَحَدٍ كَانَ قَبْلِي وَلَا تَحِلُّ لِأَحَدٍ يَكُونُ بَعْدِي. And it was never made such that the sanctity was lifted for any person prior to me, nor will this occur for anyone after me. But at this moment, Allah has given me consent that even in the Kaaba, if I deem it necessary and I feel somebody's crime and offense is unpardonable and warrants that he be intercepted, apprehended, and retribution be meted out against him in the Kaaba, then I will do it. Can you imagine? When a person is in his glory and in his might and it's happening, it's very difficult to hold his reins. His mutlaqul anan, as they would say in Arabic, mutlaqul anan, bay lagam. You can't hold the reins of this horse. This man is in his glory. And I just have a thought of another incident. I'll try and mention that and wrap it up. Subhanallah. And who walks in at that time? Allah gives him the consent. Allah gives him the consent. You deem it necessary, apprehend, and even in the Kaaba, you can take revenge. And a person by the name of Habbar bin Aswad walks in. كان شديد الأذى للمسلمين. He had inflicted great pain to the believers. Nay, he had stabbed a dagger into the body of Zainab radiyallahu anha, the eldest daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she sustained a wound because of this infliction, which ultimately claimed her life, though she lived on. Sometimes you meet up in an accident and you live beyond, but the injury sustained in that accident, you never recover from it. You have backaches for the rest of your life. You have mobility issues for the rest of your life. So consent from Allah, He's the conqueror of the Makkah. He is in authority. Allah says, if you deem it necessary, legislated in the Quran, you want to execute, you want to take revenge, do so. It coincides. Habbar bin Aswad, the man who had claimed the life of his daughter through the infliction, she lived on and she passed away thereafter, after a period of time, he walks in. And subhanallah, the noble companions say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Habbar bin Aswad has walked in. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam allows him and affords him a time to come forward. He comes forward, he apologizes, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam unconditionally forgives him. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam unconditionally forgives him, and aslam, he becomes a believer and he becomes a great companion radiyallahu anhu. I'll leave you with one incident and we'll end. Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu had entered into some diplomatic agreement with certain tribes and people. Not believers, there was some agreement, diplomatic, ceasefire, no fighting, etc. And this is mentioned in Ibn Kathir under this ayah, وَإِمَّا تَخَافَنَّ مِنْ قَوْمٍ خِيَانَةً فَانْبِذْ إِلَيْهِمْ عَلَى سَوَاءٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَبَقُوا إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُعْجِزُونَ. You could read it in Ibn Kathir under this ayah, this incident. So when the duration of the ceasefire had lapsed, so it was for a month or whatever the duration, it had lapsed, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had posted people on the peripheries, on the boundaries, and they were sitting in ambush. And this was a very strategic move, and it was a battle tactic from Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that when the month lapses and the duration has expired, and now we don't have any contract of ceasefire, seize the moment, ambush them, infiltrate them, and conquer the cities. So we have not defaulted, we have not defaulted, because the period has lapsed, and you will capitalize on their oblivious nature, because they wouldn't realize that, you know what, the year has lapsed or the period has passed. It just happened, so you're not so vigilant and conscious and careful. And from a battle perspective, the strategy proved to be very fruitful. So he had posted his people, they were on the borders, the night passed, the duration expired, and they started making inroads, and they started conquering town after town, city after city, in your glory, in your might. Another city falls, another town falls, another place conquered. You move in its might, its glory, it's happening. You know what? Position, authority, it's working. You the man, you reigning supreme. And then Amr radiallahu anhu says, Ya Muawiyah, wafa'un la ghadr. Wafa'un la ghadr. O Muawiyah, let there be loyalty and let there be no deception and delusion. Let there be no deception and delusion. So Sayyidina Muawiyah turns around and he says, what is this, O Amr radiallahu anhu? He said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that if you have ended an agreement with a nation, you have an agreement with a tenant, and the next day, if it ended on the 31st of December, you just come and evict your tenant? No, that's not the day how it works. Or you had, taken someone for probation, 3 months of employment, and then you don't remind him that 3 months is ending tomorrow. And next day you just close the gate and you say, no, listen, there's no access, 3 months have lapsed. You know, so you don't have the courtesy or the dignity to communicate it or to remind him or to send him an alert or to send a notice. So I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying that if you had entered into an agreement with someone, a nation, a tribe, and that had ended, then you cannot wage war against them until you have not informed them that now they are no longer diplomatic understanding and the ceasefire understanding has now ended. So take your precaution and we will take our precaution so that you don't ambush them. Allahu Akbar. At its best, if it was us, we would be like, well, I didn't know. So what's conquered is done. Going beyond this point, I will observe that etiquette. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu then took a step back and returned the cities to those people from whom he conquered it. Apologies. You know what? I've just been informed that that was an overstep of my position and authority. One of my colleagues had informed me that my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had alerted us that if we end, I need to notify you in advance. Hence, we cannot do what we did, so we return back your land to you. Wafa'un la ghadar. That's the rich legacy. That's the impeccable teachings. And that's the message of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that stand tall in authority. If you can manage that authority, my brother and my sister, and remember, authority doesn't have to be sitting on the throne. As I cited different examples in your day-to-day activities, just somebody coming to ask you for a favor. The other day, my dad mentioned this to me and my siblings, and I really acknowledged him for it. He said, be such that people can approach you. Even if you are not one who can deliver on the request of people, somebody needs a job, somebody needs a loan, somebody needs grace in the payment, and you're unable to accommodate it. But let it be such that your body language and your demeanor and your disposition is such that from a distance people say, I can approach him. A child says, I can ask this uncle. A senior says, I can approach this man. An equal says, he is approachable, he is accessible. Let it not be that your body language gives off such authority. Dare you come close to me, you speak to my spokesman, you don't approach me, I'm inaccessible. That's not the teachings of our deen. May Allah grant us humility, may Allah grant us simplicity, and may Allah grant us the ability to execute the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in all positions in which we are. Inna Allah kana aliyan kabira. Allah reminds you, if you have authority over someone, Allah has way more authority over you. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all positions in which we are, in Allah kana aliyyan kabira.